Talis presents
What's Next for the Future of Cybersecurity. Today we'll be talking about what we could expect to happen in a large-scale cyber attack on North America, the realities and myths associated with cyber attacks orchestrated by powerful nation-states. Joining us today is Robert Burns from Talis.
My name is Robert Burns, and I am the Chief Product Security Officer for Talis Cloud Protection and Licensing, as well as a Talis recognized expert in cybersecurity.
Welcome to the podcast, Robert.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Before we begin, can you tell us about your background?
Yeah, sure. So I've been working in cybersecurity for well over 20 years now. In fact, I was in cybersecurity before the word cyber was involved. Me and my teams, we've been tasked with trying to help ensure that all of the products that we make meet the security promises that are made to our customers. So we've been very, very heavily invested in the security business for quite some time.
Robert, given the current geopolitical instability the world is facing, how likely is it that a near-peer competitor nation would launch a large-scale cyber attack on the North American continent?
Yeah, well, I think it's easy to see. It's not really an exaggeration to say that the times we're living in right now are extremely tense and unpredictable. Nor is it a big leap to recognize that nation-state cyber attacks are a real possibility, both near and long term, for us and our allies. For the first time in history, I think we're seeing that cyber attacks can be a viable and practical vector for weakening and distracting an adversary. I think ignoring this type of threat or risk could have far-reaching consequences on our ability to prepare and respond.
Can you paint a picture describing what a significant cyber attack would be like? How would everyday life be affected? What services could be disabled, and how long could it last?
Yeah, those are good questions. And as someone who lives in the southeast of the U.S., I can provide some firsthand experience specifically around last year's Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack. I think we witnessed firsthand how a targeted ransomware attack on a pipeline provider resulted in weeks worth of gas shortages, price spikes, and confusion by the general public. Everybody in the region was confronted with scarcity of something that we've come to expect as essential in everyday life in America. And all of that happened without any sort of real world event. There were no storms, there were no pipe failures, there were no natural disasters that triggered it. It really was at the whim of, digital criminals who were able to encrypt some bits in a pipeline computer network. Now, imagine if you were to extrapolate, imagine an attacker with motivations that were stronger than just extracting money from a victim, targeting multiple industries and regions across the U.S., lasting for potentially weeks and months. It's really hard to fully appreciate the impact such an attack could have on us. You can imagine that if a motivated attacker would target and coordinate against multiple regional entities in the U.S., let's say the gas pipeline in the southeast or an electrical grid in the northwest or railway switching systems in the Midwest, banking systems on the West Coast, or maybe even a water treatment system just in Washington, D.C., the cumulative effect of those types of attacks would have a very far-reaching impact on our ability as a nation to be able to detect those attacks, recover, and respond across such a broad attack surface.
It sounds frightening. So are you saying that the U.S. and Canada would be crippled by a major cyber attack?
Well, while these types of cyber attacks are indeed plausible, I think the notion of a cyber Armageddon really only makes sense in the context of a Hollywood blockbuster. The reality is there is no master off switch for our infrastructure and systems. They're very bespoke. They're managed and controlled by separate entities, companies, municipalities, all across the region. So the segmentation and differentiation in these critical services across our country does provide a form of heterogeneous protection. So in this case, having separate systems or bespoke systems ends up being a very positive thing. So while we may fear that attackers can, you know, quote unquote, hack all the things. The challenge is that these types of attacks really have to be targeted and carried out without our detection at each entity being targeted. Scaling and coordinating attacks of this sort would be really challenging, more challenging than one might expect. And it's still dependent upon people, tools, and skills that are very different than those in a classical attack sense. The people are just not as available, and it doesn't scale as you might think it would.
Interesting. So does that mean there really is nothing to worry about?
Not quite. I think while cyber attacks, as we might see in a Hollywood blockbuster, are not likely, the reality is that successful attacks can cause a tangible disruption to everyone's lives, let alone the lives and infrastructure that is the backbone of this country. I think the fact that these attacks can be cumulative also multiply that scenario. But ultimately, the attacker's goal is really to disrupt and disorient their target to minimize our ability to respond. So even while a single day event that could take down an entire country's infrastructure isn't really possible, we do have to remain vigilant and continue to improve our cybersecurity posture across all of our industries and institutions.
The U.S. and other countries have spent years building up cyber defenses. How capable are those defenses, and what can average citizens do to prepare for this kind of threat?
So I think the good news is that it's not all doom and gloom, even though we're talking about quite a heady topic. I think the reality is across private industry and government organizations, our cybersecurity capabilities have been improving over the years and receiving a lot more attention. Specifically, some of the work being done by the U.S. Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, known as CISA, continues to really be extremely important to our overall national preparedness. Their continued cooperation and bridging between both private and government information security industries has been really critical for advancing our overall cybersecurity hygiene in recent years. Additionally, we've seen in the product space or in the private industry space, security capabilities have been steadily improving, and we've been making it so that these attacks are more difficult for would-be attackers. I think really as an average citizen, some of the ways that you can help and prepare for this is really ensuring, first off, in the digital realm that you're following cybersecurity best practices. You want to keep your devices patched and up to date, use strong authentication for all of your essential services, and remain vigilant in the face of attacks that are designed to get your account information to gain footholds inside of the organizations that you're a part of. And in the non-cyber realm, you know, it's recommended that one prepares much like they might in the face of a potential natural disaster. You have to assume that things that you normally rely upon that are essential for your well-being might not be available. So things like electricity, internet access, even cell phones, regular stores or pharmacies. So the recommendations are really keep some critical supplies stocked up and at the ready for your entire familial circle, your relationship circle. That means things like waters, medicines, non-perishable food, cash. I think it is something that we'll have to remain vigilant about to try to minimize that as much as possible.
Thank you so much for talking with us today about a topic that is on everyone's minds.
Yeah, certainly happy to do it. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on your platform. Thank you.
And to our listeners, please stay tuned for our next episode of our What's Next podcast, brought to you by Talis.